The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Dara Cochet is with me. He is the author of Motherfucklore, the Dispatches from a Not-So-Dead Language. He presents the Motherfucklore podcast and is the man behind the very popular Twitter account at The Irish Four, which is where it all started, really, isn't it, for you, Dara?
It is indeed, Matt. I started the account in 2015 and here I am now. It's been a huge response to it, more than I ever expected.
Tell us a little bit, for those people who don't follow it, just explain what it is and what you're trying to do.
Basically, I just share a different Irish word every now and then, and I try to put a humorous or a pleasant spin on it, or connect it to something else that's going on. And people seem to really respond to it. People have there's a lot of interest in Irish out there, even with people whose own Irish isn't great.
Give us a couple of examples of words you might have put up in recent days and why.
Okay, well, I wanted to share the fact that there was a word for the scum on buttermilk called Caron, which is the same as an old word Caron, for which means darling. They're just separated by one oar.
Okay,
so. And people thought, well, that's, you know, how can you tell the difference? And you just have to put a slight lean on the oar for Quran.
Okay, yes. Give us another one.
I suppose another one is there's a word for gliding like a wolf, which is Felshnov.
Felshnov?
Felshnov, basically just to glide like a wolf when someone's being really, really smooth in the way they move, specifically gliding in water like a wolf, but it's not pinned down.
Okay, where do you pick up all these words? Where do you get into them?
I like really old words and I like really new words as well. So I get the old words from older dictionaries like Dineen's Dictionary and even the ones from the 1950s. And the new words I often get from either the Termed.ie, which is the database of the new words that have just been entered into the dictionary, or from Irish language media.
Yeah, how many new Irish words are regularly entered into the dictionary? And then are they sort of very sort of almost bastardized versions of the English words in many cases?
Sometimes they are and sometimes they aren't. What I would say is, the Irish word for spam is turshgar, which is taken from Irish. And rather than finding the word spam and finding an equivalent to it in English, they found an old word in Irish for dead seaweed that's dumped on the shore by the waves.
I like that.
Which is the equivalent to spam. And then
what is the word?
Turshgar.
Turshgar.
Similarly like that, when they were looking for the word for a computer, what they did was they found the word reivre, which was in monasteries in the 8th and 9th century, the person in an abbey who would calculate or who would compute the day that Easter fell on every year was the computer, and they were a reivre, and they used that word for a computer.
And what sort of word then for smartphone, for example?
I think this, with the phone, is they just use phone, they just spell it using Irish phonetics, so F-O for the N. And
is that sort of cheating? The sort of using Irish phonetic spelling of English words?
I would say that it isn't. And the reason I would say it isn't is, say, if you take a word like chimpanzee, it's originally a Bantu word that entered English, and they, in the English language, just found a way to spell it using English language conventions. Irish is doing the exact same thing. But the big thing is, say, two chimpanzees in English is chimpanzees, but if you want to say it in Irish, it's the plural is formed differently. So spelling it chimpanzee with an AI father at the end lets you know how to create it using Irish grammar. So it's gra chimpanzee.
I'm going to put you on the spot thinking of things completely off the cuff here. Okay. But what's something like Netflix, for example? Would you give an Irish word to Netflix?
Generally with brand names, you don't.
Okay.
Right, so, and I think that's fair enough. So similarly, Google and Netflix and Hoover.
Is that an Irish to Google something? Because Google has become a verb. You wouldn't actually have an Irish verb for Google something.
No, again, they would just find a way to match it to certain verbs. And yeah, so you might find, say, if they might look into search engine and come up with something like that. But a brand name is generally left as is. Similarly, you might find that I think linguists have a thing called proper nouns, which generally aren't translated in languages. For example, the Black Lives Matter movement or Home Sweet Home, the homeless advocacy movement, they were left as is because the convention in linguistics right across Europe is to leave kind of organization names as is generally.
Or hashtag Me Too?
#HLIB is a hashtag, and that's just would have been taken from way back.
Would you keep the Me Too, would you?
I think I've seen Misha Freshen.
Okay, that's interesting. How'd you get into all this? Are you somebody who sort of grew up with this passionate love of the Irish language, who studied in primary school and secondary school through Irish?
No, not at all. I think, like, my parents sort of both have had phenomenal Irish, and I think my brothers and I, it passed us by when we were growing up in the 80s and the 90s. Maybe Irish wasn't terribly cool. Maybe we thought that we weren't expecting to stay in Ireland when we grew up, and maybe we had different, it didn't really respond to us, But when I got older, my dad spoke many languages, but Irish was his favourite one. And I wanted to know why his love of Irish wasn't motivated by a lack of curiosity about the rest of the world. He spoke Japanese and bits of Arabic and French, but Irish is his favourite. And I wanted to know why this one. And when he was when he got ill and I realised he wasn't going to be around for long, I wanted to understand why this connected with him, and I wanted to be able to talk to him about things that really mattered to him. And as I revisited Irish, I found that there was the language is so beautiful. Some of the words are like one word poems. There's just so much meaning, and I found a real key to his own sense of humour and his attitude to life in some of the way the words were phrased.
But was he a native Irish speaker? Would he have thought in Irish and then translated into all other languages?
He would have spoken English, but he would have learnt Irish and been very good at it from Kerry where he grew up. So he would have had very natural Irish, but it wouldn't have been the first language in his home.
Okay, and for yourself, can you sort of speak now, think in Irish, or do you actually have to translate from English into Irish?
I still think in English and switch back. But the thing is, when I talk in English in general, and my wife has always criticised me for this, and my friends are always criticising me for this, I tend to think and talk at the same time. But I often find when I'm speaking in Irish now, I tend to get to the point much quicker because just the way I think, like I need to finish the sentence quickly. So, and it's probably made me a better listener too.
Okay, well, how good was your Irish when you came out of Leaving Cert? Because this is the big question for lots of people, and the standard of particularly conversational Irish. When they finish all their years, they're 8 years in primary school, 5 or 6 years in secondary school, and yet many people might even get Leaving Cert honours, which includes the oral examination, and within a year or two they wouldn't be able to have an Irish conversation.
This is the thing, and the retention is an issue. My Irish wasn't good leaving school. It would have been my worst subject in school. And I suppose maybe people can take heart from the fact that someone like me can get back into it in his late 30s and get really, really interested in it and make friends. And I think possibly it may have gotten better since. Like, I do a podcast and Head Stuff called Motherfuck Lore. A lot of the contributors were born in the 90s after Peg Sayers came off the curriculum, after T.G. Cahir wasn't introduced. And a lot of them have a very different attitude to Irish than we did. I mean, there are still issues with the time after Leaving Cert, when people move on to some other things, and maybe they do, sometimes they lose Irish if they don't have a place to practice it. That's true of all languages you learn, but there's more and more places to practice now. There's more opportunities.
Yeah, but Derek, when you went back to it, what was your standard of Irish when you decided, was it 6 years ago when your father was ill? Mm-hmm. What was your standard of Irish? Would you have been able to conduct a conversation with him at that stage fluently?
When I went back, I wasn't able to conduct a conversation fluently, no. I wasn't able to, but when I found that it did start coming back quicker than I expected.
Okay, but how did you learn it differently sort of second time around when you were relearning the language?
The big thing with the difference was motivation, and I think that's going to be true of a lot of people. I had a lot more motivation when I revisited Irish than when I did when I was in the Leaving Cert. I had very different priorities, like lots of Leaving Cert students do. And I would say, but I think... I think if I was going to change something about the Leaving Cert, I would make maybe Irish more than one subject so people could pick the kind of Irish to do the sort of thing they want to do.
How would you do that?
Same way that the way a person might choose between accounting or business studies or economics, there are different subjects that touch a similar theme, but say, so one person might respond to economics more than some people might be who are more intellectual, some people are more practically minded might find that, like, might find business studies satisfactory, and some people who are really good at numbers might find the accountancy good. I think similarly, if there was a Leaving Cert Irish course that was all poetry and literature, some people might really enjoy that. Some people might find that an absolute hell, but they'd be very interested in the civics part of Irish, dealing with government departments, things like that, the actual practical aspects of writing letters to and applying for services in the Irish language. And something like that might be one way of making people choose the kind of Irish they'd like to learn.
Okay, did you use any Irish language apps or anything like that?
I did. I would have used Duolingo. I would have visited, would have used the folklore.ie app, which is free and available. And they have the website, there's changlin.ie, which is a great website, which has pronunciation features in the three main dialects, the three main county.
But then what about practice? Because a lot of people say language, it's immersion. Immersion is one of the key things that if you're in a situation, which is why many parents are fortunate enough to be in a position where maybe they can send their children off to Gaeltacht in the summer or send them to Irish language schools to give their children an advantage in sort of thinking and speaking in Irish on a sort of semi-permanent basis, even if it is only for a number of weeks.
Yeah.
So how about yourself? How did you manage that if you're going about your daily life speaking in English?
Yeah, we would have been speaking English, and I did happen to have a colleague at the time who spoke a little Irish, and he had no one to speak Irish with either. And I started a conversation with him one day at the photocopier, and it basically kind of emerged from there.
Well, how do other people treat that? Because I do remember at times in the past almost that if you heard people talking to each other in Irish, that it creates almost a resentment amongst others, saying, are they trying to talk in Irish so we don't understand mm-hmm. what they're talking about? Or so almost to show off that they're better at speaking Irish than we are.
Well, I think...
I've seen that happen.
I've seen that happen, and I think that's an issue in language in general. If you feel that you're the only person in the room who doesn't speak a particular language, and are they talking about you, or are they saying something about you? I think that I'd like to think that maybe it's nice now that it's become easier to have spaces where people can, like the Papa Gaelic that's happening tonight in town, where people can go and speak Irish to a lot of people, and it becomes a bit more normal. It is something that lots of us are trying to challenge, the idea that speaking Irish is confrontational, anything like that.
Derek, tell us a little bit about the book, Mother Folklore, because it's not just it's not a dictionary, is it?
No. I didn't want to write a dictionary, and I didn't feel that I had earned my stripes to write a dictionary compared to, I suppose, you think about how many people graduate with master's degrees in Irish from Trinity every single year, and I'm not that guy. I wanted to write a story about my own relationship with Irish and sprinkle the actual words I'd shared on the Irish for with it. So I talk basically about my experiences in school and secondary school in work, and I tie Irish language vocabulary to those things.
You just said something very interesting to me there. You felt you didn't want to see that you didn't feel qualified to write it. Is that one of the problems, though, that there is at times with the Irish language, that, you know, that those who have a level of expertise can be a little bit dismissive of those who are not as good? I'm not blaming you for that, but you were actually maybe feeling subliminally that that's something that you're conscious of, that you are not in a position to be actually being the face of the Irish language because you feel you don't speak it well enough.
No, I think that's true of pop music. It's true of sport. I find that, say, if I try to start a conversation at rugby with some of the lads later, and they'll start slagging me about not knowing naming certain players in the England team. And maybe I can't name a number of the people who are playing at the Electric Picnic, and I'll be slagged to bejesus for not knowing that as well. So there are instances of it in Irish, but it's definitely not exclusive to Irish.
How many followers do you have on Twitter now with the Irish for?
It's going over 30,000, which is nice.
Okay, and is there a regular interaction from people on that as well?
Yep, there are. There's people who get in touch and say things, and there's other people who actually are representing maybe their own kind of puns in Irish, and particularly there's one guy who've become friends with who starts sharing chat up lines with Irish language puns, and which are very funny. And I found that maybe there's more and more people doing things with Irish on Twitter and on Facebook as well.
Okay, let's just go through some of the comments coming in from listeners. Damo and Tremor says, maybe, just maybe, if we were taught to speak it first before delving into dull grammar and poetry and prose, more people would retain it. Good luck trying to get the fossils in the Department of Education to move that way, though. Because what you've suggested is such an enormous shift.
Yeah.
It would be very difficult to persuade the teachers, I think, and the course organisers to actually agree to something like that.
Possibly, but I mean, once the idea is there, maybe people can talk about it.
Mother Folklore is Dispatches from a Not-So-Dead Language. Derek O'Shea, thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word on Today FM this evening.
Thank you for having me.
And happy St. Patrick's weekend to you as well.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.